Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thomas DeVore is on a phone line, an attorney at the Silver Lake Law Group in Greenville, Illinois. Hey, Thomas, you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you today?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Good. Where is Greenville? I'm getting a geography lesson today.
Greenville's an hour south of Springfield, or about 45 minutes east from St. Louis.
Okay, I used to live in Edwardsville and went to school in Carbondale. So
we have an office in Edwardsville, and it's about 25 minutes from Greenville.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell me what you guys are doing.
We're doing a lot of things. As you're aware, there's a small amount of actual litigation that's been brought, actually testing the authority of the governor to issue executive orders specific to restricting people's movements and activities and also closing businesses. We're addressing that, and we've also successfully in 40-something counties have approximately 150 businesses who have opened legally consistent with the Department of Health Act.
So if you are successful, is it just for those businesses, or would this apply then to all of Illinois?
As you're relating to the actual the litigation that's pending, Darren Bailey, Representative Bailey's case that he brought in his individual capacity, as it's pled right now, applies to all of Illinois. We're right now working to successfully bring that case back from the federal court into the state court where it belongs, and we have a hearing on that today at 1 o'clock.
I believe I read that the Justice Department had chimed in, a kind of an amicus brief, right? And they sided with him, with your cause. They felt that the governor's overstepped his 30-day bounds, right?
Correct. It's not really an amicus brief. They've actually moved to intervene on behalf of the United States of America, so it's more than an amicus. They are actually going to participate. And they two things. One, they have taken the position that this is not a federal issue directly, even though I think they make it quite clear that they believe that civil rights violation lawsuits could be pending in the future. But, again, they at this point believe it's for the state courts of Illinois to decide this issue. And they also went a step further and said that they agree from their opinion that it believes to have been an overreach by the governor's office.
I'm sorry, but unsolicited, the federal government has intervened, or they're expressing their views, but they're saying that it is up to the states to decide, not the federal government?
They're saying it's up to the state to decide the state issues of statutory construction, whether or not the Illinois Constitution or the Emergency Management Agency Act give the governor the authority that he's wielding, or whether or not that's one, not within the confines of the Illinois Constitution, and whether or not the Illinois Department of Public Health Act is where the authority is wielded over these issues and not the Emergency Management Agency Act. The federal government says the state courts need to decide that issue.
In the case of this downstate lawmaker, we've talked to him, everybody has, and he won his case applicable to himself, though. So in other words, he would not be constrained by the governor's orders, but it did not apply to the whole state. It's poised to now do that, transfer from him to everybody else?
It is. When that case was initially brought, as pled in the complaint, the original complaint, applying to Mr. Bailey. There was procedural reasons why that was done, but once it went to the appellate court and then came back, we amended our pleading, and that amended pleading, as it would result now, would affect every person in the state.
That judge was very favorable, wasn't he? Michael McCaney, is that who we're talking about?
Judge McCaney is the judge. I can tell you I've been on both ends of Judge McCaney's rulings before with clients, so he's not given my clients everything they've asked for. He certainly seems to agree with it in his rulings that the governor has overreached his authority. To that extent, again, as a jurist, I agree with him. But he's been pretty certain in his views on this case. But again, that's not to say that other cases I've had with him, which have not been significant, but in several, I've been on the other side of that too. And he always makes clear to his opinion will be known when he makes a ruling.
Will he make it clear how he felt about the governor generally traveling about during the coronavirus pandemic? He said that the governor shouldn't have been traveling to his place in Wisconsin, and I'm not exactly sure how I feel about that. It seems to me like if the governor gets in a car with his wife or family, they've been quarantined together, they then travel to their other private property, I guess, in theory, that violates the stay-at-home order, but they're traveling to their other home, and they're not at a bar in Lake Geneva. So, but he said he didn't like that, and I don't know what business that is of the judges.
Well, again, I'm certainly not there to question the business of the judge. The judge, in his opinion, when he ruled, again, one of the things a judge has to decide is whether he feels that an order of the executive branch is arbitrary and capricious is the standard. And so, again, to the extent that the judge, when he was referring, I think I saw a story at one time that the family of the governor may have went to their one of their places that they own in Wisconsin, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that the governor may have said, well, my family could be there because it was an essential reason because they have livestock or horses or something like that.
Okay, that was, he shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. And so I think what the judge was making his point, which is his purview to make, is that, you know, he didn't find that to be a very good rationale.
No, I'm sure there was somebody in Wisconsin that was going to do that for them anyway.
Exactly. So as far as them getting in a vehicle and going on a vacation together, the governor and his family, again, whether or not that violates the governor's stay-at-home order or not, I think there's a fair question whether the provisions of the stay-at-home order as written, whether I think they're legal or not, whether it allows a family to leave the state to go to on vacation. I mean, it's, I guess, conversation for a different day. But certainly the judge felt that the governor,
right,
his family may not be following the order he's asking the rest of our citizens
to follow. But you're right. More to the point today, if you win this case for Mr. Bailey, and it applies to all of Illinois, that makes great sense for Mr. Bailey and his constituents, the people in Greenville, the people in Effingham. Maybe not Effingham, but you get the point. Downstaters who aren't exposed to COVID-19 will feel more liberated. Literally, they will be. They'll be Wisconsin. But what does that say about the people in East St. Louis or in Cook County in the Chicago area? That may work for y'all, but do you see what you're about to do to us? Let's pick it up here in a minute. This is WGN. Thomas DeVore is on a phone line. He's a downstate attorney, about 45 minutes east of St. Louis, and he is representing Dan Bailey. Is that correct? So I want to make sure I'm clear about this. Tom, thanks for joining us. Are you representing Representative Bailey in this case?
I do, sir.
But are you not also representing another private business?
Several.
And they are, like Mr. Bailey, is it a suit against the governor per se?
In his official capacity.
And the idea is that these businesses should be allowed to open up, as Mr. Bailey felt that he should be allowed free access to the state. He doesn't have to socially distance. He can go about and do as he wants. He felt the governor, after 30 days, had overstepped his reach. And that makes sense maybe to people in southern Illinois. But what about if that applies to all of Illinois? What do you think that's going to do to people here in the Chicago area?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it, and let me answer it a couple different ways, if I may. One, I would suggest to you that this is not an isolated issue to southern Illinois. We are currently representing businesses in 47 or 8 counties in the state, and I can tell you with 100% certainty that I have significant amount of people calling me from Cook County asking me to help them as well. So I'm not suggesting that because it's a more populated area, there may be things that need to be done as it relates to this virus that maybe don't apply to these little counties in the South, but it's affecting people just the same. As for the executive order, I think you've hit the nail on the head indirectly. The law, the Department of Public Health Act, addresses this issue, that just concern that you're talking about, and it has local boards of health, county by county, deal with these issues themselves. And so the solution that Cook County may need to use to protect its people, which I am concerned about, may not be the same that the Board of Health in Bond County may have to do. And the law, which is what we have to concern ourselves with, answers those questions as it's written right now. And it says that the Department of Health, deal with the public health and how to protect people. This one-size-fits-all solution that the governor has employed, not only is it not allowed under the law, it's not practical because it's affecting people in various different ways that, again, may not apply or make sense. So you know, I believe Cook County may have to employ other measures, its health department and its decision-making, than, you know, Massac County, which is the southern part of the state. That is, therein lies the issue. So if the governor's executive order goes away tomorrow, what does that mean? That means that the departments of health will continue to protect people like they are right now, and they will employ whatever measures they see fit. That's the solution, and the solution, again, is not a one-size-fits-all executive order. Not only is it not practical, the law doesn't allow for it.
So we could have the sorts of protections that I'm advocating for up here. It would just rely on the Cook County, the Lake County, the Will County health directors to impose the sorts of rules.
Absolutely. And again, if the good people of Cook County and Will County, Lake County, if they feel that the Department of Health is being too restrictive of them in order to protect the public health, because the public health is an important issue, they can take those issues up with their local health departments and with their other enforcement mechanisms. I mean, that, and again, I'm not advocating as Tom that I think that that's the thing. I'm saying that as an attorney, that's what the law provides and allows.
Is it... So if the law said he gets 90 days or unlimited days or 180 days, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, we absolutely would and be. It's two different issues, sir.
We would not be having this conversation. It's two different issues. That is, even if you and I disagree about the wisdom of this, it's a little more than just a technical detail. The governor statutorily just does not have the right to do what he's doing.
Absolutely, and I want that to be so important. The issue of the 30 days or the 60 days or the 90 days, that is an issue. But beyond that, the bigger issue is, and I've argued it in court significantly, is that this issue of closing of businesses or this issue of restricting people's movement, that's not something that the Emergency Management Agency Act ever delegated to the governor. It's with the Department of Health, the supreme authority, according to the statute. So county by county, it furthermore says.
Tom DeVore's on a phone line. He's an attorney at Silver Lake Law Group in Greenville, Illinois, and obviously advocating for an individual, Dan Bailey, but also several businesses across the state. But I wonder if this is irrelevant. But regardless of the legality of what the governor's doing, you can understand how some people would think that what the governor's doing is right. It's not helping him politically. He's only doing it because he feels an obligation to safeguard all of the citizens of the state.
Okay.
I wonder if you'd comment on that.
Sure, I would comment on that. I would comment on, I have no reason to question the governor's motives. I have no reason to believe that he may not, he's doing what he feels he needs to do to protect people. And again, these aren't my words. These are the words of the law that goes back for centuries, going, we don't rely upon one well-intentioned person to make the law. The law is the law across the board in good times and bad, because what's to stop the next person after Governor Pritzker from using this power, this extraordinary power, mm-hmm. to do people ill? I mean, that's the bigger issue at play. So, you know, the governor's motives I never question, and I won't. I won't disrespect him ever. But it's like, no, you don't get to wield this power because it was never given to you by the people. And it's really that simple. So, you know, the governor's intentions or motives, I've never questioned them. But we can't let one person have that power because our laws don't allow it. There's a separation of powers for a reason, sir. The police power of the state, which is what this is wielded by the people's branch of government, which is the legislature. They wield that power, not the executive branch.
So was it Thursday or Friday is the day for you guys?
For what day is that, sir?
Is not a judge going to rule on your petition later this week?
Right now, the case is in the federal court, and we're asking for Darren Bailey's case to be sent back to the state court. There's a hearing today on that issue at 1 o'clock.
Today at 1 o'clock. Okay.
Yes, sir.
We'll continue to follow that. Good luck to you all down there. Good luck to
Thank
all
you.
Of us
up
here.
Good luck to you, sir. Thank you. God bless
likewise.
You.
Likewise. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your time. Tom DeVore is an attorney at Silver Lake Law Group in Greenville, Illinois.